Bandwidth and hosting for Bagel Technology News is provided by UK2.net. Web hosting for the Empire. Welcome to Bagel Technology News. It's New Year's Day 2010. All the technology news from the previous decade in under 10 minutes. The year is 2000. The world has held its breath. The Y2K problem, which was the simple use of two digits for the year and a lack of planning, meant that planes were grounded and trains did not run. And the euphoria that now existed, having recovered from this problem, meant that the stock market now joined in with this euphoria, and the technology field led ahead. Leading the stock exchange was lastminute.com, a new travel firm that existed in London. However, despite opening their shares in March 2000 at £5.80, within 12 months they were trading below 50 pence. And the future looked bleak. However, the future looked bright for telephonic communications firm Nokia, a firm run out of Finland. They'd just released the 7110, a trigger phone that was used in the motion picture Matrix and used by the star character Mr. Anderson. The phone had become the first to mobilely access the new internet, and it was a fantastic leap forward using web technology. And this was quickly followed by the Nokia 3310, a phone that was so far ahead of its time that it's still traded today on eBay. On the other side of the Atlantic, however, Microsoft were facing antitrust allegations for the inclusion of the Internet Explorer alone in their operating system for personal computers. Saw a marked improvement for the technological sector. The iPod was launched in October. This was a 5GB storage device that allowed you to listen to gramophone records whilst walking around. Steve Jobs had returned the year before as the chief executive officer and clearly had a marked influence on the development of the new technology. Also launched was the iTunes Store, a small store that would sit on your computer and allow you to buy gramophone records that would then come down through a cable. September saw Hewlett-Packard merge with Compaq and join forces in a marriage that would be clear to dominate the personal computing market. It would never go wrong, and it had cost the firm $25 billion. Super Mario had controlled the 1980s with Sonic the Hedgehog, but in the 2000s, Master Chief from Halo had become the most important video game character so far this decade, causing enormous sales of the Xbox 360, which was released by Microsoft Computing. Apple also released the PowerBook in a titanium casing at 400 MHz processor at a cost of $2,500. Microsoft also launched the XP operating system, which was designed for a 2-year lifespan only. However, technology was clearly on the increase. A new face was on the block in the sphere of mobile computing. Research in Motion, called RIM, had invented the BlackBerry handset. This handset allowed you to use the new web system to access email and also to cruise the net in a very simplistic fashion. It kept a diary for you, and it also had alarms and telephone communications. A fantastic little system that was destined for the great things people had thought. In gaming, The Sims had its second iteration come out. This gave you the ability to get pregnant and also for extraterrestrial happenings to occur around your neighborhood. And finally, TiVo had released the Series 2 video box. It was $299. It was a lower price than the Series 1, but it came with a USB port integrated into it for the addition of an external drive, and a whopping 10 gigabytes could be added. In 2003 and 2004 were renaissance years in mobile computing spheres. Pittsburgh International Airport was the first to fit a free Wi-Fi system in its terminals. Wi-Fi had been around since 2000, but it was really coming of age. With 1 Mbps, it was far faster than anything else you could achieve. And Motorola released the Razr V3. This little tiny phone would clearly become one of the greatest selling phones in American history. Its flip technology meant the American public would latch onto it like a hyena on a rotting carcass. And still in the year 2000, 2009. It's the third best-selling phone of the decade. And the new kid on the block was Google. They floated on the stock exchange in August of 2004. They gave advertising and they said that they were going to give free email, free calendars, and other free applications. I don't see where the money's going to come from that, however. They might as well try flying into space. And Facebook was launched in July of the same year as thefacebook.com. Mark Zuckerberg had created a hot-or-not style face mash while in his bedroom at Harvard University to help him get over a lost girlfriend. Chin up, my boy. As a young man with a bright future, I think you've got nothing to worry about. And the Intel Centrino processor was launched. It was a Pentium 4 chip replacement. The Pentium 4s got so hot you could cook eggs on them. But the new processors were quiet and cool. Saw the launch of Firefox. This was a new internet browser that was supposed to help people get away from Internet Explorer. And it worked for the first time in many years. The Internet Explorer browser had dropped below 90%. Fantastic news. New multi-core technology meant that computing would get significantly faster. This led to the white Xbox 360. Little did Microsoft know that over 60% of these would be returned as faulty before the end of the decade. And 2006, a fantastic new operating system tried to solve the problem for Microsoft. It was called Vista, and it's the sky's the limit with this one, I can tell you. It permanently replaced the old, aging, and inadequate XP. Bill Gates, also satisfied with this new operating system, had decided that he was going to leave Microsoft, and he announced that his retirement would affect in 2 years' time. And Google bought YouTube for $1.65 billion. In 2007, iPhone was announced. This was a game-changing device, allegedly. It meant the internet in your pocket, according to Steve Jobs. And the iPlayer launched streaming television to the masses from the BBC. Huzzah! It was something that you didn't have to buy either, because your license fee covered it already. Another reason to pay your license fee. And Microsoft released the Surface. It was a multi-touch table interface that was aimed at businesses and hotels. It was, however, extremely expensive. And Amazon launched the Kindle e-reader. It was only released in the United States of America. However, new ones would be released in 2 years' time, but with nowhere near as much functionality. And Android software was announced in November of this year. It would be quickly followed by a phone announcement the following year. Facebook was in hot water over its use of Beacon to monitor the purchases of its users across the country. A terrible and heinous crime for most of those who fell foul. And so we reach the final 2 years of this marvelous decade that we have lived through. And despite the looming economic calamity, the EPC was launched in 2008. A 9-inch screen with a price of $549. It ran Windows and also Linux. But it only ran XP, that naked old system that Microsoft had forgotten. Little did they know that it would account for most of their sales this year. And in July, Bagel Technology News was started. Huzzah! Listen to it every day, because you know you need your daily fix of technology news. And in October, BlackBerry's storm hit. The iPhone killer, everyone said, but apparently no, it appeared not. And the Android Power Phone was unveiled with Android software. Millions were hit by internet blackouts across the whole of the subcontinent in India and the Middle East as well. To this day, no one knows whether those cables were deliberately cut or whether it was just a simple screw-up. 2009 finally saw the release of the iPhone software 3.0. This released a whole new level of games and applications to become available. Now, with over 80,000 applications and over 2 billion downloads, the iTunes Store clearly proved itself from 2001. And the Motorola Droid is the latest to take on the iPhone and try and depose it as champion. And so we come to the end of our small presentation. If you've got a story and no one else will listen, then send it to us at bageltechnologynews@gmail.com or follow us on the website at bageltech.net. You can also follow us on Twitter and Facebook at Bageltech News. We'll be back again on Sunday with Mark and Ewan and Paul King and maybe another special guest for Bageltech Big, streaming live on Ustream at 8 p.m. in the UK, at 3 p.m. Eastern Seaboard Time and 8 p.m. Pacific Seaboard Time. We look forward to seeing you then. Have a good day, and thanks for listening.